How powerful is that song?
My goodness.
God is good, is he not? You know, God is, he doesn't miss a beat, you know what? I was talking to Luke today, and matter of fact, I came in on his Sunday school class a little bit. And he was talking about Joshua. Okay? Today's topic will be about Joshua. Okay? That's not the first, the second, or the third time that God has done that. See, I don't read the Sunday school lessons, so I don't know what trusting that he'll be teaching the right things. And I don't know how many times he said, hey, that was part of my Sunday school class. God is good. God has no coincidence. He is such an awesome God, and he just does what he wants to do. I think we need to just praise him, don't you? Hey, praise the Lord. Let's pray real quick before we start. Father, we thank you for another day. We thank you for another year. Father, we thank you the year brings new beginnings, Father. And Father, I pray that the beginnings of each of us in here, we will commit ourselves to have a stronger bond with you, a stronger love for you, a stronger love for those that need the word, a stronger bond for fellow believers as you bind us together. So God, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for the message today. I pray you will hide me behind this cross, Father. Stretch out your hand, touch my mouth, put your words into my mouth, Father. And Father, we pray that you will do what you want done with this message. Because your word tells us it, you'll do that. So God, we praise you for that. Father, help us to be a people of praise. A people that look to you, Father, for our very existence. And we thank you that through your Son, Jesus, we can have victory in this life, in eternal life. So Father, for the rest of the service, we pray, we give this to you, Father. And we pray that you'll do what you want done. Father, in your holy and mighty name, amen. Amen. We'll be in Joshua 1, if you would like to turn there. The title of the message is Victory in a New Beginning. Victory in a New Beginning. You know, a new year brings new goals, new commitments, new resolutions, new hope. As we look forward to something new happening. And I'm sure we all do it at some point in our lives during this January month and December. We are resolving to do this and resolving to do that. And we're excited of another goal out there and maybe another commitment out there. And we do it for a while, and you know this, that all of a sudden life begins to happen, and the joy and the thought of what we wanted to happen in the future, it just kind of disappears on us. And we lose that joy of a new beginning. And life takes over, and we just continue to move on. And I believe the Bible has something to say about that, something to say about a new beginning. I believe the Bible has something to say about a new year, a new beginning, a new commitment, new challenges for the year. As we look forward to an uncertain future, how does God's Word going to fit into our lives? And we're going to look at that today, this idea of a new beginning. And we're going to take it from the standpoint of the new beginning with the children of Israel. God had a plan for their life. And gave them advice, gave them encouragement for their new beginning as they moved into the promised land. And I think what God is telling Joshua and what God told the people, I believe that it just applies to us today as we begin a new year, as we begin a new beginning. So that's where we're going to go today, is what does God's word say to them? And he's saying to us as we begin a new year. Let's look at Joshua 1 And I'm going to do it a little differently this time. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9 so that you'll get the context of the message first. And then we'll go back and we'll dissect it and pull it apart and see if we can come up with anything. Verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the sons of Israel. Every place on which your sole of your foot treads, I have given to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun, will be your territory. That is what God has promised them. Verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I have sworn to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded. Do not turn from the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall now depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. May God bless the reading of his word. The children of Israel were a nomadic people. They had wandered most of their life. They had never had a homeland that they could have. They would set up camp for a while and God would move them. They would take up camp and move to someplace else and move to someplace else. And the longest they were ever in a spot were the 400 years they were in Egypt. But here we have them on the cusp of a new beginning. Here we have them. All they've got to do now is to cross the Jordan River and move into the promised land that God promised Abraham back hundreds of years before this time. And here they are ready for this new beginning, ready to have a home, someplace they could call their own. Even though God had promised that to them, it was going to be a challenge. You see, they would confront, as they crossed the Jordan into this land, they were going to confront army after army that didn't want them there. You see, the Israelites were not a warring people as such. They were not trained in war. They were not trained in battle. And yet, God was going to expect them to do that. Army after army stood in their way of claiming this land. Fortified cities were there that they would have to defeat. It would take years in order for them to be successful, to receive what God had promised them. Many tears, many lives, much bloodshed was going to happen before they could ever conquer the land. God had promised them the land, this new homeland, this new beginning, and yet they were going to have to work for it. God does that sometimes, you know it. He just does that. How would the people be able to conquer this land? What would it take for them to be successful to go and get what God had promised to them? Well, I believe it's going to take a total commitment on their part. I believe it's going to take a loyalty on their part. I believe they are going to have perseverance, their allegiance, and their dependence would have to be on the Lord. They had to be committed to the Lord, loyal to the Lord, determined to follow the Lord in order to be successful. Because you see, in their own strength, they would never be able to do this. If they were to just go out and do their own thing, they would never have been successful. They proved that, did they not? After the Battle of Jericho, after they all they had to do is march around and blow a few trumpets and the walls fell, the next time, the next battle they had, they forgot God. And they were soundly defeated. You see, if you want success in your life, you need to put God as your priority. They did not know this verse of Matthew 6:33. But we do, and it applies to us in terms of how we approach things of life. Matthew 6:33 says this, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." So many times we add all these things added to us, and then we seek the Lord. No, no, no. God's word says, seek the Lord first. We are to make the Lord and our relationship with Him what? Our number one priority. We too have to make Him number one. We too have to be committed to Him, loyal to Him, depend upon Him. Our allegiance must be to Him if we want to be successful in this life. And this, and as we begin this new year and this new beginning, I want to encourage you, encourage you to make Him and your relationship with Him the priority of your life. Don't do life backwards. Don't try to acquire all these things and then add God to that. Put God first in your life. And He says what? All these things will be added to you. And He's telling the Israelites the same thing. Put me first. Be totally committed to you, to me. And then what's going to happen? Then you will be able to possess the promised land. You want to have victory in your life? Victory comes from putting God first in your life. Victory comes from putting your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where the true victory will come. In verses 1 and 2, let's see what it has to say. The death of Moses. Moses has died. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua. My servant is dead. Verse 2. Therefore arise across this Jordan, and all the people of the land, I'm giving to them the sons of Israel. Moses is dead. Okay. Back then there was a time of 30 days of mourning. 30 days of mourning, 30 days of grief, 30 days of life stopping, if you would, to mourn the loss of someone. And of course, Moses was highly loved, highly respected, highly hated, whatever you want to call it, as being a leader. But they took time to mourn the leader of this great man. But then you see in verse 2, God speaks to Joshua, and He says what? Arise. Get up. Joshua, get up from the grief. Get up from the mourning. Get up from what you're doing with. Get up from being high-centered in life. And I want you to get up because I've got a plan for you and the people. And that plan is for you to cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land that I have promised you. Arise, get up. Joshua, you have a plan. You have a job. Now go do it. The time of mourning is up. How many times in our life do we find ourselves in the same boat that Joshua was? Maybe we have lost a loved one. Maybe some bad news has come across to us. Maybe life has gotten very difficult. And we see ourselves maybe in a valley. And then we allow anxiety to come into our life. And we allow fear and we allow depression. And we allow whatever circumstances that has got a hold of us right now to just stop us dead in our tracks and we can't move forward. And God Almighty says what to us? Arise. Get up. Go do what I've called you to do. I have a great plan for you, Joshua. I have a great plan for you, Don. I have a great plan for all of you at Arapahoe First Baptist Church. Get up. Take your time of mourning, but now arise and get up and get busy with my business, he says. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for your calamity. Plans for your good and not your bad, okay? To give you a future and a hope. Joshua could have just lingered there and never done what God called him to do. But God said, I got a plan, and a plan is a good plan. I want you to do it. You see, Jesus, when he was here, he says, you know, I've come to give you life, and a life that is abundant. That's the victory, I'm telling you. And it's life is because we allow Jesus to give us that victory when we choose to follow the Lord. And how do we incorporate that? How do we incorporate that? We know in our minds that God has a plan for us, and he had a plan for them. And what do we need to do? It's very simple. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to figure out God's ways, because God's ways are higher than ours and his thoughts are higher than ours. God knows what's around the corner. Trust him. You see, the children of Israel, they had to trust him before they could ever cross the Jordan into that land. You and I must trust him when things are going south in our lives. Or when things are going good, we must trust him, because we need to know that he has a super, super plan for our lives. And it's a plan for our good and not for our bad. It's a plan to give us a future out there and a hope out there, not to destroy us. You see, he wants us to depend on him. Did you know it? He wants us to seek him first in all that we do. And when that happens, I promise you, we will have victory in this life. All we've got to do, arise, get up, step toward God's plan, and trust him. And just trust him. Because he's going to make it work the way he wants it to make it work in your life. What an awesome God that we have. Let's look at, again, the second part of verse 2 and verse 3. We see another point here. He says, for the land I am giving to them, the new beginning, to the sons of Israel, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I have spoken to Moses. You know, that promised land that he's talking about is their inheritance. He had promised to Abraham, and he is fulfilling this promise even as we speak here. You know, their lives were hard. They had a hard life. Being in slavery for 400 years, wandering around in the desert, eating manna and quail for breakfast and for lunch and for dinner. And then the next day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, quail. You know, I love Rhonda's cooking, but I'm not going to eat the same thing every day, three times a day. But God was providing for them. They suffered hardship after hardship. Things came into their lives that were very difficult. Life was hard. Just because God had promised them a promised land, life was still hard. Life was still going to be difficult. But they had a new beginning, and God wanted to give that to him. You know, we too can have a new beginning. We too have an inheritance, did you know? You see, we as Christians, as truly been born again, our inheritance is our eternal life in heaven. Our inheritance is our eternal life in heaven through Jesus Christ and his grace. That's our promise. Our inheritance is heaven will be our home. John 14:2-3 tells us that very fact. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself. For there where I am, there you will be also. You see, our inheritance is in heaven because Jesus said it will be if you put your faith and trust in him. They had a promised inheritance. We too have a promised inheritance. And that is being with our Lord and Savior forever and forever. You see, the Israelites had their struggles in life, had their difficulties, had their hardship. We too have the same thing. We too struggle. We still have things that come in our lives. We still have difficulties. Yeah, we do, just like them. But God is faithful to carry his promise out in his time frame. And he will carry it out. He's promised us when we die, born again believers, we'll be with him for heaven. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. It don't get no better than that. Okay? If you want to know what victory is in this life, it's absent from this body. When you take your last breath here on this earth and you take your first breath in heaven, that is victory. And we have that victory only because of what Jesus did on the cross and God's grace that allowed us to accept His Son as Lord and Savior. My friends, that is victory when we think about Jesus. Verse 5, let's go on. Let's see what else it has, little nuggets it has for us. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I've been with Moses. I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. What an awesome promise that is. I will not fail you, or I will not forsake you. If you are a child of God, He will never forsake you, even though you might turn your back on Him, even though you might do some stupid stuff in your life, even though you might sin, maybe you might make some terrible choices. But if you have truly been born again, the Bible promises what? I will not fail you, or I will not forsake you. You see, God has a plan in your life, whatever that plan might be. And He's going to do what He needs to do to shape us and to mold us into somebody that looks like His Son. And no man can close a door that God can't open. No man can open a door that God can't close. When we moved here from Piedmont in 1981, it seemed like forever, I had applied for the job here in Clinton as a basketball coach. I was just a young punk, didn't know a whole lot, been coaching just a couple years, hadn't had much success. Life was, we weren't winning like I wanted to win, and there was no reason for me to ever think I could get this job, at Clinton job, coaching basketball. They had a bunch of good kids, they were winning. 48 people applied for that job, 48 people. And I'm thinking, what chance do I get? I get a call one Saturday morning, and he says, "Hey, Don, we'd offered this job to somebody else, but they turned it down. Do you want the job?" Yeah, like duh. And you look back about that. God had a plan for my life, and His plan for my life was to bring me to Western Oklahoma to live. There's not a doubt in my mind, because there's no way I should have ever gotten that job. No way. And I know that. But you see, man cannot open a door that God cannot close. Man cannot close a door that God cannot open. And I believe with all my heart He led us to Western Oklahoma 40-something years ago, and bingo, here I am still. You know, tried to leave, couldn't do it. God kept closing that door. You see, God has a plan, and He will take care of that plan. And because He said He'll never fail me and never forsake me, my friends, that is victory in life. That is victory in life, recognizing God's hand in your life, that He's going to keep you someplace or take you someplace or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. But His plan is good and not for my bad, for my future and my hope. I thank God for that all the time. Verse 6, can you continue on? He's got some more nuggets here. He said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." And if we'll look down through there, but three times He uses the phrase, "Be strong and be courageous." Three times. I think the first time in verse 6, He's telling us, be strong and courageous in trusting the Lord. In trusting the Lord. Joshua, no matter what you come across, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua, when the army is twice as big as you, be strong and courageous. Joshua, when you come across this big city known as Jericho, and I tell you to march around it and never fire a shot or an arrow, and you just want, and I just tell you to shout, well, that's a battle plan. Joshua, be strong and courageous, because I have a plan for you. Joshua, be strong and courageous and go do what I have asked you to do to possess the land. Members of First Rapid Baptist Church, be strong and courageous in the way you live your life. People want to reject you. Be strong and courageous. People want to deny friendship. Be strong and courageous. When people don't want to speak to you anymore because of your faith, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, people, when I ask you to do something that you are very uncomfortable with. Be strong and courageous when you pray and you have no answer. And you wonder, where is God as I'm praying? God, I need this answer. Come on, God. Time is ticking, God. I need to know something, God. Be strong and courageous. Trust me, he says. Trust me, because I've got your answer. Trust me, because I'm in front of you, Don. Trust me, I'm behind you, Don. Don, I'm on both sides of you, Don. Be strong and courageous when it's not popular to trust the Lord. My friend, that also is victory. Victory in the Lord. Verse 7 and 8, let's look what it says. There it is again. Be strong this time. Be very courageous. And he gives them some advice. He says, be careful to do according to all the law which Moses commanded. And what's he telling them and what's he telling us, the battle plan for encouragement in this life? Be obedient to the Lord. Be obedient to the Lord. That's what he's telling them and he's telling us as we begin a new year. Be obedient to the Lord. And then he says, do not turn from the right or the left. Do not start chasing after some stuff that seems to be popular. Do not go after the woke stuff that everybody's talking about. Don't be going about thinking that you know everything. Get in the Word. Obey the law. Don't turn from the right. You know what your faith says. Don't deviate from that. And we live in a world today that the Bible says in Timothy, people want their ears tickled. And they turn from the truth. That's what it's talking about. Don't do that. Don't accumulate for yourselves, Timothy says, teachers and preachers that want to accommodate and teach what you want to hear. Stay true to the Word. Be obedient. Stay true to the Word. Verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Well, what does that mean? Keep talking about what's in God's Word. Keep teaching your children what's in God's Word. Keep teaching your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren what's in God's Word. Do not let the Word leave your mouth. You know somebody that needs the Lord. Do not let God's Word not leave your mouth. Tell them, speak to them. Be strong and courageous. Be bold when somebody needs to know what the Lord has for them, what their future is and what their future can be if they just come to the Lord. Don't stop sharing the faith. And then he says what? Another great encouragement. Meditate on the Word. Meditate on the Word. Meditate is deeper than just reading the Word. Okay? Sometimes we read the Word and I deal with this, and I'm sure you do too. We read 30 verses, a chapter, and we got them read. But do we know what they said? Do we remember what they said? He says meditate. Go deep in God's Word. Meditate on His Word. Because the Bible tells us in Psalm, does it not? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want your light, your life, your path lit up where you want to know what to do, where to go, and what to say? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Meditate on His Word. Know His Word. Hide His Word in your heart that you might not sin against Him. Psalm 119:11. Man, what encouragement. And then after we do those things, if that is how we're going to live, look what he promises them and he promises us. He says, so then I will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. You children of Israel, if you'll just do this, obey me and don't turn from the right, keep talking about me, meditate on my words. Put me first, he would say. Then you will prosper and have success. Does that prosperous mean physical prosperity? Can be. Material prosperity? Can be. Spiritual prosperity? Yes. The Bible says he's given us all the spiritual blessings that he wants to give us. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be prosperous and successful? The only way that you can be successful in this life for an eternity is by making Jesus your Lord and Savior. You can be successful in the eyes of the world and be separated from holy God forever and forever. I'm not sure that's success. Matter of fact, I know it's not. Success and victory come from Jesus. God gives us a purpose. He gives us fulfillment. He gives us satisfaction. That, my friends, is prosperity. That, my friends, is victory. Is victory. The last verse, real quick, we'll be done. It's verse 9. And where did that go? Where did Joshua go? Joshua left me. There he is. For I have commanded you. For have I not commanded you? There it is. Gosh, again. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because of God's presence in your life. God's presence in your life. When the enemies of life come upon you, we don't have to be afraid of them. We don't have to fear them. We don't have to run from them. Why? We've got the very presence of God in our life. Now see, back here, the Holy Spirit was not in a person's life. The Holy Spirit was just kind of around and revealing to people. But for us, we have the God of the universe, the God who created all this, living within us. Did you know that? Through the Holy Spirit. You can't get closer presence than that, okay? Okay, I am present with Rhonda. That's a closeness, yeah. But you've got God living inside of you if you've been born again. That's presence. Knowing that God the Father is with you. The God of the universe lives inside of us. And did you know, there is no place that you can go if you've been born again. No place that you can go that you can ever escape God's presence in your life. Did you know that? You can't go. You can't. You read it in Psalms 139. David is speaking, and he says, and he's contemplating this because, you know, he had some issues in his life, sinful issues. And he goes, you know, if I ascend into heaven, there you are. If I descend into Sheol, the holding tank for the dead, he goes, there you are. If I take wings of flight and I fly to the furthest outreaches of the universe out there, he goes, there you are. If I go to the remotest depths of the sea, there you are. I can't escape you. God's presence is with you. Can we not live life strong and courageous? Because we have the living God living inside of us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. Joshua, when you go across the Jordan and you face mountain after mountain, remember, you got God with you. When you face mountain after mountain in your life, you have God living within you. I don't know how I can say it any simpler than that. And he wants to empower you. He wants to direct you. He wants to help you to live your life as a life that brings glory and honor to the Father. Yeah, it can be done, because He will ensure you. Walk by the Spirit, the Bible says in Galatians, and you will not give in to the desires of the flesh. God is right there with him. Do you seek him? Do you seek him? Is he important to you? Is he your number one priority? We begin a new beginning this time of the year. Are you going to make him number one in your life? Are you going to, when life gets you down, are you going to arise and move forward with the life God has planned for you? Are you going to remember that when things are going sideways, maybe, that he gave you a promise that I will never fail you nor forsake you? Do you remember that all he wants you to do is to obey him? To do what God's word tells us to do, not turn from the right or to the left? Do you remember to speak a word of encouragement to somebody? Speak the gospel to somebody? To teach your kids and grandkids that? Do you remember to do that? Do you remember of his presence in your life? Remember, he is living within you. The Bible says every born-again believer who's truly born again, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us. Every one of us. Not half of us, not some of us, every one of us. That's his gift to us. That is, it's talked about sealing of the Holy Spirit. When we have that Holy Spirit living inside us, it is God's stamp that says, I will give you a home in heaven when you pass from this earth. That is his promise, his seal. Stamp of approval. You are now one of mine, chosen, forgiven, adopted into the family of God, because I've given you this Holy Spirit. Nobody can break the seal that I give. You know, the children of Israel could have, and they eventually did, had possessed the land. Wasn't going to be easy. It never was easy. But God withheld his promise, and he gave them that land, the same land that they live in today. The same promises, I believe, that God gave to them, he gives to us. He gives to us. Because you see, he is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Revelation 4:11. So if he made a promise then, he's made a promise to us. Trust him. Believe in him. Follow him. Be obedient to him. Share him. Meditate on his word. You want victory in this life? There you go. Victory comes for those who love the Lord through his son Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. Father, I pray the message has gone forth. God, I pray whatever you want to accomplish with the message, you will do. That's your word. Father, I pray as we begin a new year, a new beginning, God, that we fall more in love with you in our lives. That we fall more in love with you because we see your hand in our lives. We read about you from your holy scriptures. We meditate on your word, Father. We speak your word. We develop this super relationship with you, Father. And the closer we get to you, the more we will fall in love with you. And Father, your word tells us when we fall in love with you, we can love others that are not lovable.